Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. Once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, just contact us. Email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-O-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado tonight, you know, for those of you that have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Saturday. You know what that means, heart to heart. Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them, amen, to give the word of God to you and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Very grateful for the door that Jesus opened up for us to be able to do that. And while we're waiting for my brother to come on to get this started off, I want to take the time once again to thank all of you that have been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio thus far this 3 years. Amen. Praise be to God. And we're grateful for the many things that God has in store for us in getting this gospel out to you, the listeners. Praise be to God. And I was just thinking about the times that we're living in and how that the Word of God warns us of these days we're living in. And the Word of God warns us that we may take heed and prepare ourselves for the things that we're about to encounter. Amen. I know that some of y'all may have heard us last night speaking on how demonic spirits are real and that you're going to experience things dealing with demonic spirits. And God wants you to know that, you know, there are some things you're going to know from the Word of God. And there's going to be some things you're going to know from the Word and through experience. Okay. And, you know, some of us have treated the Word of God as, you know, just words on paper. Fail to understand that they are real. Amen. It says the Word of God is real. And so I thank God for this, you know, opportunity. And, you know, you heard us last night speaking some testimonies of, you know, how that, you know, the power of God operate in dealing with deliverance and dealing with demonic spirits. Now, I want y'all to understand something, because some people, they're very quick to misunderstand this and misinterpret it. Because there are some people that whenever you talk about demonic manifestation, they're saying you're glorifying the devil. And this is what, you know, for any of you that say that, this is what you fail to see. Jesus Christ himself talked about demons. The Word of God itself talked about demonic manifestation. Now, I'm not saying that you are to glorify them, but they are present, okay? And you're going to, at some point, in your walk with God or in your ministry, going to have to deal with them, okay? Amen. And, you know, some people, you know, you say about something about the devil, they so quick to say, hey, we don't glorify the devil. Well, that's not glorifying the devil. If that be the case, then you have to accuse Jesus of glorifying Satan, because he talked about him, okay? And plus, he gave us his name. For what? Just to say it? No. But one of the reasons, one of the usage of his name is to come against and cast out devils, okay? So if you weren't going to have a confrontation with him, then Jesus gave you his name in vain. Amen? And so I testified about this sister on YouTube, Keshandra Boyd, and what she experienced concerning demonic manifestation and how that she had to exercise her authority continually and come against that demon, because some demons are stubborn, okay? But eventually, if you stand and stay at it through the word of God, you can it will come out, okay? But, you know, she testified how that even the demons start to talk to her and said, why? You know, when she said, come out, said, why? Then one of the demons even holler out her name, why, Keyshawnda? Why, you know? And listen, it's real, people. I think she said she was on that phone either an hour and a half or hour and 40-something minutes, you know, coming against that devil, that demon. And like I said, I'm here to tell you that long as you, even in your walk with Christ, at some point, you're going to have to deal with demonic manifestation. And if you haven't noticed that it is becoming more and more manifest in these days we're living in, okay? Because you got people into so much stuff now, so much witchcraft, you know, and demonic stuff. You know, you got people these days, they, you know, some are more quicker to get into witchcraft, you know, that I've seen in my time. I put it that way. And you have some, to be honest with you, whether some women or some men goes to these witch doctors or people that perform witchcraft to get something put on somebody they're going with. Amen. Now, some of y'all, you know, your eyebrows raised up because you're too busy talking about, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, guess what? The devil don't care if you believe he's real or not. In fact, by you saying he's not real, they give him opportunity to do more stuff to you and you don't do nothing, okay? But demonic manifestation is real. And like I testified to y'all last night, I've had an encounter. And you know, I thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the preaching in the church on that subject because it's very important that people be taught about that, you know, because, you know, hallelujah. I remember when I first got saved, and one of the things that I would hear the brothers preach about concerning facing demonic confrontation was, you know, one of the things they would say, how you could tell whether something's of God or not, whether God is doing it. And, you know, I remember that I was still staying with my mom, and this was like 3 years, maybe 3, maybe 4 years before I got married. And I was staying with my mom, and I remember one late night that I actually experienced where this presence was in my bedroom, and it actually felt like this guy lifted me up from the bed. And so I didn't know what was going on, and so I asked the question. I said, Jesus, is this you? Now I come to understand from the word that if it doesn't bring peace to your soul, it's not of him. And so when I asked that question, Jesus, is this you? I got this unpeaceful feeling, I don't want to call it a feeling, but sensing. And I knew it wasn't him, and I started rebuking. I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And as I did it, it slowly let me back down. Now, I got to admit, it shook me up somewhat, a little bit, you know. Well, no, more than a little bit. It shook me up because I still was young in Christ, about 2 or 3 years old in Christ. Okay, and I had that, you know, and that's the first confrontation I had before the confrontation I testified to you guys about when I was living in the house and that demon held me down on the couch. That on the couch thing was afterwards, okay, about a year or two afterwards. This here, you know, was in, you know, at my mom's house. So, you know, it's real, people. Demonic manifestation is real, okay? And, you know, either, as Brother Lee said, you're going to either put up or shut up, okay? And too many of us, where there's demonic manifestation, we're hollering to Jesus to do something when he had given us authority that we need to use, okay? And don't get me wrong, there are going to be times that I'm not saying you ain't going to never have to call on Jesus, because there's some time that the devil messes you so he can't no words come out your mouth. And you have to do like Brother Lee said, you have to think it in the name of Jesus. Okay, I've had that to happen to me too about a couple occasions that I can think of, but it's real. And you need to, I know many of y'all hear us on the broadcast, but hey, why don't you do a study yourself? Go into, you know, the beginning of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see what Jesus had did concerning demonic confrontation. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom.
Amen. God bless. Praise be to God. Another blessed day in the Lord. Amen. And reiterating what we were talking about yesterday to the people and giving a testimony. And I just told them, I said, hey, you know, you hear us on the broadcast, do an in-depth study yourself. Go to the beginning of the Gospels and look and see how Jesus dealt with demonic manifestation, demonic confrontation. Because we got too many people in the body of Christ, brother. When you mention about binding the devil, they go, oh, no, we don't glorify the devil. I said, well, now, how are you getting that? How are you getting glorifying the devil out of that when Jesus himself spoke about demonic spirits and then gave us his name as authority to come against them with? So it's becoming, brother, as you know, demonic manifestation is becoming more and more open now in this day and time. I'm looking at my time, and I've seen, because so many people are getting into so much witchcraft and sorcery, you know, they're getting into it quicker, you know, more, you know, and they're getting deeper to it, you know, the psychics, you know, and some of them real deep in that horoscope and all that stuff, and that Chinese astrology, all that, you know, and it's manifestation, demonic manifestation is, you know, just coming out of more. And like I said, as a Christian, you know, you're going to come across demonic confrontation or manifestation, I mean, at some point in your walk. Amen.
Well, this is another great and wonderful blessed day with opportunity. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus and to all the saints around the world. And this is Heart to Heart and Faith to Faith, acknowledging, honoring women of God and heart to heart and speaking about the things of the kingdom of God. And we are grateful and thankful. And we pray that the Holy Spirit may in some way help somebody to come to understanding the things that they're dealing with in this life and in this world. Well, you know, the understanding about the kingdom of darkness, it's many people are in the earth in religious, well, I will say this, in Christian areas, there's areas where many of them don't acknowledge the working of evil and the personification of devils and demons and evil spirits. Of course, the Bible tells us quickly there is basically, well, they call three kingdoms, really the kingdom of darkness, of devils, and the kingdom of this world of men, and the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of men or fallen nature is mostly controlled and influenced by the kingdom of darkness. But actually, it's actually three kingdoms. And so there is a confrontation. I don't know and understand that Bible believers who call themselves truly Bible believers or New Covenant gospel believers, how they can even think or say that evil spirits, satanic spirits, and the kingdom of darkness headed by the devil, Lucifer, and his fallen ones, how they can say that's not real and doesn't exist in this fallen world. I'm trying to, how they can say that. If there is a kingdom of God and a kingdom of the dear son, Jesus Christ, there is a kingdom of devils and a kingdom of men. So, I mean, that's just automatically. The darkness and light, up and down, positive and good. I mean, I don't understand the believers that say they believe the Bible. They don't believe in an active, demonic, evil, wicked, ungodly spirits will refer to as evil spirits, unholy spirits, demonic spirits, and devils that exist, which the Bible all the way through clearly talks about from the beginning to the end, really. So I don't understand people who don't even believe that they exist and they are fallen spirits. When the Bible tells us that Satan rebelled and he was kicked out, him and his angels was kicked out into the earth, I just don't understand people that say they're Bible believers and don't believe that they exist and they are among us. It has been since the fall of man, since the fall of Satan, and since the fall of Adam. And they're operating in the earth. And how can you read the Bible, or can you read it backwards or seesaw, and don't see that angels of God, and the opposite, the fallen angels, who are called evil spirits, exist, and their job is to, what Jesus said in John 10, that basically fallen nature of demons are to kill, steal, and destroy, and to deceive and afflict. And I don't understand the people who call themselves Christians or Bible believers who don't know they exist. And then don't know that they're fighting against every human being and fighting against the redeemed church of Jesus Christ. Their number one enemy in the earth of these demons and devil is to destroy, afflict, and hinder the church of the living God, the redeemed covenant people of God, because those are the people who have authority and dominion over them. And why would Jesus give somebody authority, over something that don't exist? He says in the 10th chapter, in verse 17 in Luke, he said, "I give you authority." He said to this, "I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy." Now, why would he have to give you authority over something if it doesn't exist? I give you authority over all the powers. Now, Luke 10:17, Jesus told us, "I give you authority and power, dunamis, saying, I give you authority and power over all the powers of the devil, to tread on or tread down, or whatever you want to pull down, cast down, and pull down every stronghold," Ephesians says. If they don't exist, why would he give you authority over something that don't exist? Could you understand that to me? Jesus is going to come around and say, "Hey, I'm going to give you authority over something that don't exist. I know that devils and demons are not real, but I'm going to give you authority and power over the power of the enemy. And I'm going to play a make-believe game. They don't exist." And that means if the devil don't exist, God don't exist. If darkness don't exist, light don't exist. If truth don't exist, untruth don't exist. If up don't exist, then down don't exist. So it's kind of amazing that some believers who don't even know the reality. I got it now, brother. It's the same demons who are telling them and blinding them that they don't exist. So I got it now. They're the one influencing their thinking. Yeah, okay. Well, I get it. Right. I got it. Well, then, who was that fellow that met in Matthew when Jesus 40 days and fasting in the wilderness? For 40 days he was fasting and praying, and the devil came to him. Jesus must have imagined that, didn't he? Oh, yeah, I know. He must have imagined that.
Yeah.
I guess he must be, you know. But Jesus says, in the first, when he was on a 40 fast, that devil came to him. The devil, the son of Satan of evil, the fallen one, and tempted him and tested him. And said, and he talked to Jesus. And Jesus talked to him. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was facing this greatest test, Jesus, the powers of evil was pressing upon him. And he said, angels came and ministered unto him. And he said, "Now has come the power of darkness, the hour of power of darkness." So I'm trying to see in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and Jesus gave his apostles if you read Matthew, he says, what, 10 chapter, or in Luke, or 9 or 10 chapter, he says to his 12 disciples, I give you authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, open the blind eyes, and raise the dead. I wonder why he did that if they don't exist. And then he says in Mark, before he left, Mark 16, I think, with Mark 16, he says, I give unto his church, his redeemed believers, these signs shall follow me. In my name shall you cast out nothing. Did he say, in my name shall you cast out nothing? Or did he say,
cast out devils? Amen.
And then
want,
he said, no, he
also,
said, he'll
welcome Brother Keevan on too with his brother.
Oh, well, hello, Brother Keevan. My prayers for you, my brother. And when the Lord get you through, and our hearts be to you and your dad and your sisters constantly, that the Lord help you off from your great loss. And
we appreciate it.
Yeah, it's something that generally most all of us will experience if we one time or another. And, if you live, you're going to be a father and a mother and a grandmother, and so we know that we're all going to lose somebody along the way. We got to go.
Yeah.
And we're not never fully prepared for it. Of course, even though we're prepared in one way, we never really fully prepared in our hearts, even though we know it's coming. But yeah, but, you know, it's always but, and then sometimes why can't they stay a little longer, you know? Why can't they stay alone, you know? And why they got to go earlier? And I'm not ready for them to go. So that loss, can't nobody actually put it in words. It's something that we experience, the loss of a loved one. Hallelujah. I understand that. My mother, when I got the call, it's like something went out of me, like a hole, big hole, or something that can't nobody feel. It's like left me like a, because someone, mothers and fathers are like, you know, deeply part of your life. And when you lose them, it's like you lost something that's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, we're making it, and we're going to make it, you know, and know that God is here. Faithful, he's still faithful. He's still who he is, but and we know that this is something that, you know, like you say, all of us are going to have to pass through it at some point, you know. And you can't be prepared for it. You just have to allow God's strength to strengthen you for it, and to remain in the fight.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely. Of course, we don't always fully understand God's ways or understand some things about life. We understand in part. We don't fully comprehend all things and a lot of things, but we have to trust Him, trust the Lord, and live on. You can imagine Mary losing her son, Jesus, and she weeping and crying at the cross. And the loss of her dear beloved son, Jesus, was a hole in her heart, a piercing of her heart. So life will, have to go on. And I know it's hard for some people, more difficult than other people. And it's difficult for family members. Some get, you know, through it easier, quicker, and others sometimes don't. All right, well, we got to move forward. We got to move on, brother. There's no doubt about it. She was with us, and we, you know, she was given us a gift, your mother, a special gift, like Cynthia Rogers also. This, you were given to Derek, and then Sean Bell was given to Tracy Bell. And Sister Elaine was given to John. But when clocks click, I guess time moves on. Move on. Hallelujah. Times and life moves on. Yeah. with talking about the kingdom of darkness, and one of the things that is always ironic, yeah, I don't want people don't believe that evil and the deity exists. Jesus said in 16th chapter, these signs shall follow the believers. And I wonder why he would say that if he was saying, oh, these signs shall follow nobody, or follow and cast out the air, or cast out nothing because they don't exist. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall you cast out devils. Those are one of the great commandments of the gospel, and why he said to the disciples, I give you authority and dominion over all the powers of darkness. They are really real, and they'll be real until Jesus come and during the millennium, bind them, put them in the pit. I don't understand how people can read this stuff. In the 20th chapter, he says, when Satan comes, he's going to bind the devil, and Michael's going to put him in a pit for 1,000 years, and he can't walk around, and he's going to be bound. All this evidence from Scripture and evidence from experiences, how can many Christians do not believe the lively activity of demons that are affecting the fallen world?
Amen. Amen.
And the counterpart, the angels of God, the Bible talks about the angels of God, the good part, that there's so many angels of God is here. That's why the Satan is not able to just utterly destroy and demolish and kill and do what he wants, because the angels of God are encamped around them that fear the Lord and deliver them. I like that part. I like that part. Psalm 34 says, the angels of God camp round in Psalm 34 and Psalm 68, I think, in Psalms 91, the angels of God. And so if you look around you right now, there's angels all around you keeping the evil one at bay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Amen. Amen.
Hello.
Hey, man. Over here.
Yeah, and as we talk about, I call it the third kingdom, because the kingdom of the power of darkness and the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God comes into a clash, and often there is a clash of the titans, and the kingdom of man rebelling sometime against God, and the kingdom of darkness of demons trying to influence us to be an adversary to the kingdom of our Lord. So the battle all the way through the scriptures and all the way to the fall of man, Satan was in the garden and masqueraded himself from the beginning. So he is for real. And one third of them was cast out. And in Revelation 12, one third of them fought, and Michael, the archangel, the warring angel, the chief one, cast that roast out, broke his wing, broke his eye. So if you look at him real good, close, he got one eye, one wing, and he tried to macerate that he's so beautiful and fine, but he got broke up real good, bro.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
He got a good whooping and a good beating. And I'm so glad to hear that. When Michael, it said Michael, you read about Michael, the chief warring angel, and nobody wins the battle over him. When he comes on the scene, Mr. Devil, it's over with for you. And he's the chief one, the warrior one. Hallelujah. And he calls Michael, and you see his name in the Bible three times, Michael. And you see Gabriel probably three times. Those two archangels, you see three angels. Well, actually, I think it's another one that's mentioned. But these are the most powerful and called archangels, the princes. And the warring angels is Michael. Gabriel is more a messenger, and his name is mentioned because he's around the throne of God, and Michael, they're around the direct throne of God, and they guard the throne, and they are guarding over Israel, and they guard over the saints. So we got a lot working for us. The angels are camped round about us, and we don't see them because now and then God has let us see in them, actually in a physical form. Hallelujah. And then we got angels in the 13th chapter of Hebrews said there are angels looking, walking up and down in this earth, looking like human beings, everyday people, and we probably don't run into them and don't even know we are entertained angels on the way. I didn't know it. Hallelujah. I like that part.
Amen.
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 And, you know, there's another part about our help us against the evil one is that it says, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. I like that part, too. We got more angels than demons and devils. I like that part. Outnumbered.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Outnumbered.
Amen. Yeah, amen. You know, you know, I like that part. One third cast out, fall, but we got two thirds who did not follow the Lucifer in rebellion, and we got two thirds. And you could imagine, it's people don't like to talk about evil. They only, you know, it's an amazing thing how the devil has got people afraid to call him out and name him. Well, we don't want to talk about the devil, brother. We don't want to give him no glory, brother. You have to tear the pages out of the Bible. You don't want to talk about evil, and the devil will start tearing all the pages out of the Bible, out of Jesus, out of the apostles. You have to tear all them pages out.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
And yeah, they notice that in every nation and under this world, you see that every what we call heathen or pagan or idolatrous nation in the world that's not Christian, you see them having folded different ugly beastly creatures. Those are demons. And you go to any nation, they got a statue of some ugly cat, a dog, a dragon, a half animal. Those are demons. Figurines that come out of a wicked mind, because those nations of the world worship idolatry, which are demons influence. So that's why when every nation you go, you see these creatures, dark, grotesque creatures in stature form, looking like dragons and snakes and half animals and hands. Those are demonic figurines that they have been dealing with. So it's something that people don't like to talk about.
Right.
And
right.
They want to ignore it. And that's what the devil wants you to do, ignore. he wants to play secret service. Well, don't nobody know about me. I'll just do my dirt, and they don't even know I'm existing. No, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Secret service. But we are calling out the wicked. We're not letting him stay hidden like he don't exist. No, we're going to call him out like Jesus said. You know what Jesus said in the fourth chapter of Matthew when he came, met Jesus? He said, Satan, get behind me. And what was Jesus saying that, brother, if he didn't say, Satan, get behind me?
Amen.
It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him alone. And it said, Satan left him for a little season. Wow. I guess Jesus is talking to himself, I guess. I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, here we are with the kingdom of darkness in clash. And you see something in the Bible, something that teaches us something great about the influence of evil spirits in the second heaven. Now, it says about the enemy, and we'll get to his demise and his overthrow. In Ephesians, it says, the prince of this world is the prince of air, which is actually translated the prince of the heavens. And so he's cast out into the heavens, which is the second heaven, because God dwells in the third heaven, and Satan don't dwell there. But you notice when Job was getting ready to be tested, here come among the angels was gathered together, And here come old Lucifer among the angels of God in heaven. And the Lord asked Satan, where are you? What's your problem? What are you doing here? I'm just walking up and down seeking who I can destroy. And so Satan was a real person. So in Job, he comes among the angels of God, and the Lord God asked him, whence comest thou, Satan? Well, I've been busy, and I've been doing my thing, and I've been trying to prove that you ain't real, and all to them that do believe it are trying to destroy it and deceive them. And God, the Almighty, says, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, yep. I've been trying my, other words, in paraphrase, I've been trying to do my best to get him, but I just can't do nothing with that Job. I just can't get to him. No, it's something like you got a covering, a wall, or armor around him. I just can't get to him. I can't get to Job.
Yeah.
Was that a fairy tale story about Job and his confrontation with Eve?
No, it wasn't. Mm-mm.
Oh. Okay.
I think to some degree, you know, it's very important to one of the things that the Bible talks about. Jesus said, I believe it was the 14th chapter of John, where he said, the prince of this world is coming, and he'll find nothing in me. And, you know, when we look back to the Old Testament, what gives the enemy the right to come against us? Every time at the end of, and every time we look at that, at the end of it, it's always directed back to sin and being out of alignment with God. And I think this is what empowers us, and this is what empowers us. Righteousness empowers us. And it does, and it doesn't mean to do everything perfect, because I'm quite sure Job, the people that was around him and his family and his friends probably saw a different Job. But in the sight of God, it is something totally different. When the Lord said that David was a man after his own heart, I mean, David kept his heart in alignment with God and the will of God, and he even asked God to hide his word in his heart that he wouldn't sin against him. So the enemy loves these doors that are opening, and sometimes it doesn't have to be something that you've done directly. Sin can come in your life, and it doesn't have to be something that you've done directly. You know, the Bible talks about how he'll visit the iniquities upon the third and the fourth generation. Somebody has to pay for sin. And this is why it's important that you not only repent for your daily things, but, you know, one thing my mother used to always tell us, she said, I'm living my life for y'all. She said, because if you don't come in the full circle of the Lord, your house will be laid waste. Your children will be void of, your children will be void of inheritance. So that was a pronunciation of a curse. If you don't do this, what did he say in Deuteronomy 28, 27? If you keep these commandments, here's where the blessings are going to be at the end of it. If you don't, here's where the curse is going to be at the end of it. You know, and we see so many times, I believe it's Lamentations 5:7. I believe it is very important. It says our fathers have sinned and are no more, and left us to bear the iniquity, to bear the burden of the things that they had done. Now, all types of things happen through, you know, through lineages. The Lord was showing me demonic trades. You know, when you would sacrifice children, when you would sacrifice relatives, when you would sacrifice, you know, all types of things in exchange for power. And a lot of times this is what happens in, you know, all the different types of magic and voodoo, Santeria, all of these things, is they give themselves over to these sacrificing, like Psalms 107 says, sacrificing to demons. They sacrifice themselves and family members and anything they can in exchange for this power. Well, this has caused a lot of curses to come down bloodlines, and people get strange sicknesses and illnesses and all of these things. And you can pray, stand praying for them, saying the name of Jesus, laying hands on them, praying and fasting. But if the legal right is there, the hand of God is tied until sin is removed. Oftentimes, when before Jesus healed anyone in the Bible, he first spoke to them and told them, your sin be forgiven you. Because sin was the culprit and what caused the thing to come up on them in the first place. And I think a lot of people think it's something that, well, if it's something I haven't done directly, why should I have to repent for the bloodline? Or why should I have to repent of something? And so I think, you know, it is important, you know, that we understand that aspect of it too, because this is where Satan gets his power, through legal rights.
Yes. There's some different facets about understanding what gives Satan authority or right to operate and to move against people in the human family on the earth. What gives him a right? Well, now we see a picture, and we're told a story that when Adam was and Eve were in the garden, we get a picture from the beginning. He came in a masquerade to seduce and trick, because he had no real authority, because there were no sin in the earth, and he could not actually do anything. He came as a deceiver to see Adam and Eve, and because he wanted three things. One was to hurt God. Second was to cause man to fall and go to the same place that he had promised that he was going. And second, to stop God's plan and purposes for man. But his nature, here's the thing about Satan's nature. We got to get his nature. He is fallen. And the Bible said in Revelation, he's cast out and he has become an adversary to God, an angry adversary. He's now no longer has the love of God, no light in him. There is no truth in him. Jesus said that there's no truth in the devil. There is no light. There's no love, no joy. So he's miserable. The Bible said the devil is cast out and he's miserable. And because he's miserable, he wants to make everybody else miserable. That's his nature. Jesus said in John 10, he come to kill. He's a murderer. He's a killer. He come to kill, steal, and destroy, and the deceiver. And he come to afflict and cause pain because he's miserable, and he seek to destroy all flesh. Now, before the fall of man, there was no sin. There was no iniquity. Satan exists. And when the creation came about, he comes to disturb and hinder and destroy and seduce Adam to disobey, to cause death and sin and come in this world. So Satan, after man's sin, got dominion and had the souls of all men, because the wages of sin is death, gives him a legal right. Now, Jesus came to redeem us, to buy us back, to purchase us with his own life, out of kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to bring us out of the kingdom of sin and death into the kingdom of life, Romans 5. Now, when we become the children of the kingdom of God and light, Colossians 1 and 13, and 1 Peter 2:9-10, we get translated out of the kingdom of darkness, of sin, of death, into the kingdom of light of the beloved Son Jesus, when we are translated, born again, out of one kingdom to another, the kingdom of light. Now, Satan, if you are a believer and redeemed, you are now an enemy, and he has to come against the kingdom of God's people, the kingdom of God. And he has a nature, his nature, and this is how you got to understand all things. The nature of things dictate their actions and what they do. The nature of God is, of course, purity, light, truth, justice, holiness, righteousness, and the kingdom. The nature of Satan is just the opposite. Just the opposite. So I say today that the saints of God, blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Well, Satan don't have no joy, and he don't want you to get none. And he got a sentence of going to the lake of fire after the 6,000 years. Well, he's going to the pit, and then after the 7,000 years, he's going down into the lake of fire in the end. But what we want to say about this, that as long as he's in this earth, he is going to attack. And he's going to attack you whether you sin or not, because he hates all Christians, and he's going to fight to destroy you. Jesus said he come to kill, steal, destroy, to deceive, and to bind, and to destroy. That's his nature. So when he saw Job, the Bible said in Job that God said Job was perfect. Now understand, he said Job was perfect and upright. Did you get that?
Amen.
Did we get that? No, amen. I didn't say that. God, his creator, said Job was perfect and upright. Oh, there's nobody perfect. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I must have misread the scripture then. It said Job was perfect, had a perfect heart of obedience and faith towards God. Oh, it did not say he was flawless. It said he was perfect. Now, most people don't know what the word perfect means. Did he have any faults? Yeah, you can have faults and still be perfect before God. Not in the sense that you think. Hallelujah. But listen, it said Job was perfect. And the devil had been trying to get Job and had no success at all. He could find nothing in him. Not one thing in Job. He had no ability, no power over Job. And he was frustrated. When he came, when he appeared before the throne and with the angels, and the Lord asked him, the ongoing thing that he was trying to get Job, must have been a long time, but he had no success. And Job said, you got some kind of protection over Job. I can't get to him. Not at all. That tells us the story. So the battle goes on with the redeemed in the earth, that Satan is constantly trying to get us out of the kingdom of God, out of life. But the sinners have no protection, Holly, very little protection, except the mercy of God. So when you're in sin, you have the mercy of God. You have the prayers of your loved ones or somebody praying for you that keeps you. Three things. The mercy of God that is given to sinners, then they may have a chance to come to him, and the prayers of the saints who continuously pray for them to keep them alive and be delivered until they get a chance to make a decision about mercy and grace. Now, demons will attack you or come against you whether they have a legal ground or don't have a legal ground. But when they have a legal reason to come, then you got a problem with getting them out and away. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I give you authority and power. Notice that in all the gospel, every time he talked to his disciples, and when he first met them, he said in Matthew's, 10 or 9, and Luke and 9, I give unto you authority and power. I give unto you authority and power. I give you authority and power. Get this right. I give you authority and power. Why is he giving them authority? That's the work of the gospel. Christ, I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. So, he's for real. And he's going to attack the righteous and the unrighteous. But he hates the righteous because they have authority and dominion. And he fears the redeemed. More than anybody knows, he fears two people. He fears the redeemed in Christ. He fears Israel, and he hates America. Those three things Satan hates the most: the redeemed in Christ, the nation Israel, America, and fourthly, he hate all flesh. Okay. Now,
amen.
So, now the angels of God, that's what I want to tell. The angels of God are given for a reason. Four things we are given as believers. We're given angelic hosts. We're given the Holy Spirit. We're given the Word of God. We're given the blood of Jesus. We're given the name of Jesus. And we're given the power of Jesus. So we got to operate. You can have a new car, a Lamborghini, a Maserati, a Mercedes, and don't know how to operate or drive it, ain't gonna do you no good, is it?
Amen. Amen, that's right.
So, here's a key. The Church of Christ with Elijah message, and to all Christians. I was blessed when I came to Christ in an early stage. Now, I went around visiting churches, and I visited the Pentecostal and Apostolic Church, because in my early stage in the South, I basically was, you know, Baptist, so I didn't know anything about the other part of Christianity, the Pentecostals, the Sanctified, the Holy Ghost, and I didn't know too much about them. And so when I came out of the Army, I started visiting different churches, and so I got familiar with the Apostolic, the Oneness, the Full Gospel, Pentecostal, Sanctified, Latter Rain. And when I started going around them, I gleaned a lot of truth. And I guess the Lord had me go that way to understand some things. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I did. When I got to the Church of Christ, Elijah Message, and got a part of her, I had some knowledge about the working of Satan and sin and darkness before I got there. And I'm glad that I did. I got a better understanding from my apostolic and my sanctified Pentecostal people. An excellent understanding about them. So God uses many people, and he uses many different Christians to reveal certain truths and give certain gifts to certain people. So I didn't get too much teaching when I was growing up in the Baptist church. They didn't talk about demons and this and that. They didn't have too much knowledge, and they know it was the devil, but that's about all, you know. You didn't get no understanding about authority or power, not too much about righteousness, but they did love, and they teach love their neighbor. They one thing they taught, love your neighbor, and they had a great, great love for one another. So, now, my first real encounter with the devil and demons. My first real life experience. Boy, that is a toenail shocker. When you have an experience, man, that is something. My first experience with witchcraft and sorcery and demonology. Wow. Man, that's a toenail. I call it the toenail. But also, I had an experience with the angels of God. Wow. Man. Don't we need the angels of God? Why they're on assignment? Why we need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the name of Jesus and the blood? I learned about the blood. I learned the blood of Jesus, why the blood of Jesus is so powerful and the Word of God. In your heart. I wonder about a few things when dealing with the devil, about the Word of God in your heart and the name of Jesus. But it's more than the name. It's about the authority and the blood also. Okay, then. Anyone want to add anything more to it? Because we're confronting an evil more and more in this earth. And to prove that, if you go to the angel's message that we're receiving today, the angel light, he said something in the 88 message. And I do anybody understand why he has to tell his people in the 88 message and speak to the Church of Christ about this when they have the Bible and the record of Nephite and already has told us, why did he have to come and say this in the 88 message? Why do you think he has to say this in particular to us in the 88 message, verse 35? Anybody have an idea why he had to say that in the message? The angel Elijah come in 88 message. He gave a particular truth and a command. Now, he gave us a command and revealed something about Satan. Anybody got the 88 message, verse 35, the word of the Lord, message? Let me see, where my book at? 88 and 35. And now, he has been coming for over 40 years to Brother Dre's and bringing the word of the Lord from heaven, and he has to tell the church after over 40 or 50 years something they should already know in the beginning, because they got the Bible and the record of Nephi, and it seemed that we were asleep to this or not operating in that area. In message 88 and 35, the word of the Lord says what, beginning at verse 35, about something that we need to be well aware. What did he say that so come and had to tell us this when we should already known this already? Why he got to remind us? And then he gave us a command. Have we obeyed that command as well as a warning? He gave us a warning, an awakening, and a command. And this is the warning and the awakening and the command that he says in verse 35. Anyone got their book handy? The word of God.
Message 88 and 35 says, Satan's power shall be bound, and he shall have no more temptation on mankind
now,
until the reign of
maybe we should,
the millennium shall be over.
Okay. So he tells us about that Satan is going to be bound when Jesus come back again. And in Revelation 20, he's going to be put in a pit for 1,000 years. Now, but he also tells us something else. What else?
He says Satan knows his time is short, and he will work to destroy all that he can. He will work to hinder and deceive and lay stumbling blocks for mankind to fall over. He will puff up in pride. He will discourage in hope and hinder the faith of many if you do not watch and pray. Have faith in the words of the prophets and the Lord and what I bring, and he will not have power over you.
Now, that's quite revealing, isn't it?
Amen.
He will not have power over you. Do we like that part?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I think he's trying to tell us something there that we may not have been so conscious of. I know many other people I have went around, they are conscious of it. Hallelujah. But it seems like we need to awaken a little bit more on this, the Church of Christ. He says, it seems like he's trying to remind us. You think he's trying to awaken us to something? When he comes in, Satan, his time is closing up, and his time is closing in. He's about Jesus is about to come, and he's soon to come, and Jesus is about to come, and he's going to do, but in the meantime, he's telling us Satan's going to do all that he can. Do you see what he says, all that he can?
Amen.
As we talk about this, we're going to find out what Satan can do. What is he allowed to do? And how we open doors to him and give him permission to do certain things. Do we get that? Do we get that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
That we do things. We do certain things that give him permission and allow him also to work. Now, no matter whether we give him permission or not, he's still going to work and do certain things. But we open doors, spiritual doors, by certain things we do or say or enter into, give him a power and ability to come against us and do certain things to us, even the Christian. Now, what has mankind been doing that given Satan legal ground? The brother talks about the sins of the fathers. the iniquity of the fathers that can be passed on, some of them to the fifth, sixth, and some to the 20th generation. Hallelujah. Didn't know that the sins and iniquity of people in your bloodline or your family line or before you can affect you. But do you know that we are affected, all flesh is affected by the sin of Adam, and that's been how many generations?
Wow. Yeah.
We were born, every human being was born in sin and iniquity, and a curse called iniquity in sin, every human being. And that's Adam, mm-hmm. through Adam. So then we got the iniquity of the fathers. That means your bloodline of people before you can enter into and do certain things that can have an effect on their children, and their children, and Satan can operate for generations doing certain things to your family seed. Somebody want to help me out here?
Okay.
Brother Keevan,
we want to welcome all Sister Helen to God bless you, Sister Helen.
Amen. God bless.
All right, your sisters can join in and help us out if you want to.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Because right. The devil hates you too.
That's right. That's true.
And you think that he gonna let up off you women because you're a woman? Oh, I'm gonna feel sorry for the women. I ain't gonna bother them. I'm not gonna mess with them. I don't.
throughout the word, that was who he attacked first. Who he attacked first, and he when the Lord stepped in, he pronounced a curse upon the enemy as well. He said, "I'm going to raise up." He said, and through that woman that you tried to deceive, he said that the heel is going to crush your head, and we know head meaning authority. So Jesus came to give us back what, you know, Adam forfeited, you know, through his transgression. And it's true that the sin of Adam is still affecting all people, because when Adam sinned and he turned away from God, it brought in another spirit. We saw that murder started to happen. We still have murder. We saw domestic violence. We started seeing all of these things start to transpire, but the Bible says something that's very key. It says how creation is waiting for the manifestation of the true sons of God. It's waiting for us to take our rightful place in the earth, because everything that happens in the earth is not 100% God's responsibility. It is man's
right.
responsibility and duty in the earth. So when things happen and people start blaming God, and God is saying, "Well, why are you making me an accomplice? Well, why are you putting my name in it? I gave you dominion over the earth." So when we talk about wars and we talk about poverty and we talk about all these things, you know, war is a human ingenuity. Poverty is just God. Everything that's on the earth belongs to God, and He put enough resources in so everybody can eat. But when you have people that are greedy and take it and, you know, for their own economic clout, then, of course, you're going to have impoverished areas all across the world. We look at Africa, you know, and it's gold. God put gold in the earth everywhere there. And why are they one of the poorest countries, yet rich in all the resources that God has given? So when we look through the lens of the Bible and God's word, we'll see God and who He is and the provision that He's made for man, and who we are and how we have destroy that. You know how he said in the message book, he said, I placed the mountain and beautified the earth, but man through sin has sought to destroy it. He's giving the culprit of what is causing a moral decay, not only in our society, but in cultures all across the world. And we see the influence of evil. We see the influence of the enemy. And God has given us his word. He has given us light to expose the darkness so that he can bring in and usher in his kingdom.
Yeah, quite true. There's a lot to understand about the fall of man and the fall of man, how it's still having repercussions in all human flesh and why we have to come to Christ and be redeemed. Because when Adam fell, when Adam sinned and rebelled and committed treason, Eve was the one that he went to the woman first. He saw a weakness in her and he went to her first. So God used the woman to bring a savior, a deliverer in the world to crush the enemy and defeat the enemy. Now, you notice that as we understand how the fall of man, if you read Romans 5, and how when Christ come into the earth and redeem a group of people who believe the gospel, and now the world in the 8th chapter of Romans is waiting and groaning and waiting till the manifestation of the sons of God. They're not waiting for no religious people or just church-going people. They're actually waiting for the adoption of the real sons of God to take dominion again. They lost it in the fall. We lost dominion. We're told to subdue and have dominion in the earth. Adam gave that up and gave it over to Satan. Now, when you hear people say God is in charge of everything, that sounds good, but it's not true.
Amen.
Now I know it sounds good, and I understand what they mean, but it's not scripturally true.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it, and if anybody, and many people out here, even good, saved, talented men, say God is in charge of everything. I said, well, the Bible that I read doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure
mm-hmm.
out where are you reading that from, because that's
mm-hmm.
not in the Bible, where God is in charge of everything or any and everybody. That's not actually. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I said that's not true. It sounds good,
mm-hmm.
but see, God gave man dominion and authority to subdue the earth. He gave him charge and everything, and Adam made decisions. God was
mm-hmm.
not in charge of that decision. He didn't tell him to sin. He didn't lead him to sin. He didn't make
mm-hmm.
him sin. He was not in charge of his sin.
That's right. Amen.
Sorry. No. He was not in charge of Satan's rebellion. Lucifer made a decision to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Man was seduced and made. God was not in charge. God is not in charge of you making mistakes. God didn't lead people to sin. He doesn't tempt people. Men make decisions. The devil made decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in charge of the evil that's going in the earth. And he's not in charge
mm-hmm.
of people rebelling and doing evil and raping and killing and murdering people. He's not in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
He is not killing
yeah.
people. He's not with people having cancer and affliction and hunger. He's not in charge of that.
That's true.
He's not in charge of the people that do that. The people
mm-hmm.
that are sinners belongs to the devil. And he's not in charge of their life. He's not in charge of the wicked nations. That's why the gospel got to be preached.
Yeah.
So they can make
Amen.
A choice. So
Amen.
When we say God is in charge of everything, that's not quite accurate. But that's okay. We'll leave that go on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He's
Amen.
In charge of his purpose and his plan and his people.
Mm-hmm.
His people. Because they have submitted to him. The other people, he's not in charge of their life or their sins or their iniquity or their rebellion. He's not in charge of that. They, through the influence of Satan, are in charge of their own decisions about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
If God is in charge, then all the people that's getting killed and murdered and raped and destroyed, is he in charge of that?
No.
Well, he must be a terrible God, Brother Nate. Wow. I mean, he's doing all this evil in the earth, starving folks and killing folks and murder. He's in charge, or he in director of that? No, he is not.
He is not. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we, the redeemed in Christ, make a decision. Maybe influenced by God, but it was our decision. God cannot make decisions for you. God does not make decisions for you.
Amen.
You are not a robot. Then God does not make decisions for you. He may influence your decisions, inspire your decisions, but he doesn't make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out and want to kill somebody and destroy somebody or run over somebody, he's not making that decision for you. Urging you.
Amen.
He's not behind it. So I just want to get that straight, because people, everything that happened in the world, when everything happened, oh, God is in charge of all that. No, I'm sorry, you're charging God falsely, wrongly. Brother, God is not in charge of all that. I'm sorry. That's not Bible. God is not a two-head God, a bad God, then a good God, and a righteous God, then an unrighteous. No, no, he's not that.
Amen.
But he turned things around when people believed on him. When people believe on him and come to him, he reversed and turned things around.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He reverses things when you come in and believe on him. When the woman, he didn't give that woman a cancer. The woman that came with a bleeding cancer in the fifth chapter of Mark, and the woman heard about Jesus, and she sought out Jesus and pressed away. And he said, woman, your faith, your faith has made you whole.
Yes.
Amen. If God had gave her that cancer, that bleeding, and he was passing out cancer and death and destruction. No, no, no. Death, sin, iniquity came in the world when man rebelled. Man and the devil got together and caused death, sin, and sickness and poverty to come into the world. That's the curse.
Yes.
Through Adam. Jesus came to reverse it.
Amen.
To redeem us from the curse. All
Amen.
Those that come.
Yes.
All those lands and nations you see suffering, Jesus didn't cause that.
Mm-hmm.
Our
Amen.
God is a good God. He brings
Amen.
Judgment and justice. He brings judgment and justice. He brings judgment and justice, for the works of sin and iniquity produces that. Rebellion produces that. Idolatry produces that. They sow and you reap. Because there's a law. You sow and you reap. Well, but now come Jesus. Here come our Lord. Revelation says, now come the kingdom of God and our Christ. That's good news. Now the devil is here, but here comes the kingdom of our God and his Christ, to put that devil and darkness in his place. All right. I just thought, go ahead, sister. Y'all go ahead and talk up. Don't let me.
Amen. Yeah, we got Sister Anderson gone. God bless you, Sister Anderson. We got about 15 minutes left. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
How many minutes
ago?
15.
Amen. Thank God. I thank God for the word and
the chat,
and the
conversation.
Yeah. I thank God for that chat and that conversation. And I was thinking about the 8:35 in the message, and also some of the other things that have been, you know, brought forth in the past. That is so many precious and important things in the message that have been looked over, not taught on, or left out. and for his God being in control of everything. God is not, I totally agree, according to the word, God is not in charge of everything, and he gives us a free will. We have a free will. So we can come to him or deny him or not come to him. And I thank God that he given us the choice, that we do have the opportunity to let him into our lives. And I thank him for that.
Yeah, this is one thing I got to make this point. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the scripture says, the will of God, the will of the Lord, it's not his will or his desire that any person be lost, but millions of people will be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand this now, the will of man versus the will of God and the will of the devil. If God is in charge of your will and your actions, the Bible says, contrary, in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 5 and 6, who, it says, Paul said, who is not willing that any should be lost, that all should come to the knowledge of truth. Is all going to come to the knowledge of truth? That's God's will. But do men obey? They have a decision. Do all come? It's not his willing. As I said, it's not God's will. It's not his desire that any be lost. Peter says, in chapter 3, verse 9, who would all have all come to the knowledge of truth and all come to repent. That's his desire. Are all men going to come to repentance? Are all men going to come to Christ? No. But I thought God was in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm. No. No.
Well, why a million people going to be lost if God is in charge of them? He'll just make them come.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it's not his will.
Amen.
That any be lost. That any. That's why he sent Jesus. He desire. It is not his heart. It's not his will that any be lost. But those that don't accept him as Savior and Redeemer and Savior and reject the gospel will be lost. But it's not his will. So he can't force his will on you. So God cannot force his will. Neither he can't. There are some people when we got with demons, we asked them, do they want to be free? And we'll be dealing with them with demons. And they say, we ask the person, we ask some of the people, what's your will? Do you want to be free? Or do you want to come to Christ? Or do you want to be delivered? They said, no. Do you understand that? They said, no.
Mm-hmm.
When you messing with demons and casting out demons, you have to ask the people, do you want to be free?
Yeah.
Do you want Christ as your Savior and Lord? You must make a choice. Hallelujah. Am I right? Am I right, brother? Somebody correct me, please.
Amen.
So when we would be messing with demons and Brother Clark in the Chicago local, and we talk to the people, are you ready to give up to Christ? Are you ready to be free? Well, no, I'm not ready to give up sin. I ain't ready. Well, then God can't make you be free. We can't make you be free.
Amen.
Notice what the Bible says. I come that you might have life.
Yeah.
And that you may have it more abundant, chapter 10. He offered life and redemption to everyone. That's called the gospel.
Yes.
And everywhere you go, don't offer people church and religion. Offer them the life.
Yes.
Because they never come inside of a church building. You can offer them life where they are. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Am I right, Brother Nate?
That's right.
Amen.
Am I scripture right? No. When you meet a person 1,000 miles, they don't have to come into a church building to receive life.
Amen.
That's a fallacy. And I keep telling people, come to church is great, wonderful. You hear the gospel. But what if you never get inside of a church or a religious building? Wherever they are, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You may be in Saudi Arabia, in a tavern, a dive, outside the street. There you meet Jesus, who knocks on the door of your heart and says, I'm ready to receive life, redemption, and forgiveness. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
When the messenger of the Lord said in message 26:29, told us, take the gospel to four places. He said, take it door to door, house to house, city to city, state to state, and nation to nation.
Mm-hmm.
When these people hear the good news and they're ready to receive life, you're not supposed to say, wait.
No.
Where do you see that in the Bible?
Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Now, they may not get baptized by water. They may not be immediately have water, but they still can receive the life of Christ through faith.
Yeah.
Am I right, Brother Nate, or am I wrong?
Amen.
Right, buddy.
Amen.
Jesus met people wherever they were, the woman at the well. Was she in a synagogue? Was she in a synagogue? In John 4, was the woman in a synagogue? Jesus said, wait till Saturday, come here and go down to the synagogue on Saturday, and we will give you life.
No, he didn't.
Well, I know we're not going to do that.
No, he didn't.
Hallelujah. Well, anyway, the devil wants you to put off and tell people to wait. Wait till next year. Wait till Christmas. Wait till you go to assembly. Wait till you get to the house. Wait till you get to the church. No waiting to be healed. No waiting to be delivered. No waiting to be set free.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Okay. There are demons.
Got about 7 minutes, brother.
Okay. Sister Helen, you got something to say? Sister Anderson, you got something to say? I didn't.
Go ahead and finish, Brother Lee. We listening.
I'm trying to let you finish. You try to back out of it. I know. I ain't letting you back up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Jesus said and sent Elijah and from heaven, and he confirmed this in the 88th message, and he gave us a warning, an exhortation, and a commandment. In the 88th message, in 38, he said, therefore, devil will do all he can. He said, therefore, what's the devil? Come against him. Why is he telling us to do that if we already doing it? Somebody help me here now. Brother Nate, therefore, come against him and break his what?
Yoke.
By what?
True
how?
Belief.
By true belief.
Study the word. Obey the Lord's spirit and make ready.
You think he's trying to wake up somebody?
Yeah.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
He gave us a command.
Yes.
Brother Nate, he said, therefore, come against him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Therefore, come against him. Him.
Come against
him.
Yes.
Him.
Not a myth, not a fantasy. Come against him.
Yes.
Break. Do what? Break what? Break his what?
Yoke.
Break his what?
Yoke.
Break his yoke.
In one place, I think, in the angel message, he says, be no longer tied down by the chains of the devil. Be longer tied down by the chains of the devil. You mean tied down by the chains of the devil?
Yes.
Then we supposed to rise up, ye sons of God.
Amen.
To rise up, ye redeemed sons of God.
Yes, Lord.
These signs shall follow the children of God and Mark. And he didn't just say these signs shall follow apostles only, or evangelists. He said these signs shall follow the believers. He's talking about the whole body of Christ, the born again saved, women, men, all of them have authority against the devil. You ain't got to wait. You are a redeemed child of God. You are an adopted son of God. What do you mean I got to wait for a whole year to go to the assembly? No, no, no. You got the wrong idea. Somebody going to have to wake us up here. I ain't got to wait no year.
Amen.
I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Bible said, Paul said, come boldly. Did he say, Brother Kevin, come boldly?
Amen.
To the throne of grace. You have access to the throne of grace. I ain't got to wait till nobody put no hands or oil. You can do it, but you don't have to.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, I can bind the devil. You have authority to bind the enemy. And amen. I lay hands on myself sometime, and I bind the enemy. I lay hands, I anoint my, and lay my, shoot here. My hands, your hands and your authority is good. So lay your hands on your own self and say, pain, disease, devil.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. All right, as we go, and we love you out there, we have went in homes and got ghosts out of homes, brother. We're going to talk about that, getting demons out of houses. Demons can be in houses. They can be in everything, be in dogs, be in cats, and be in animals. The devil, he gets everywhere he can get. I know I'm right about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So close the prayer, and we're going to bind the powers of darkness that's operating over California. Lord, as we leave this place,
Jesus,
in this gathering, we join in faith and authority and unity with all the intercessors, all God's intercessors in California around about, and we bind the prince.
Yes, Lord, bind the prince.
Over the state of California, the territorial demon. The prince over the state of California.
Yes, over the state of California.
We bind the spirit of perversion.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We bind the spirit of Babylon.
Yes.
The curse of Babylon. The curse of the Sodomites.
Yes.
The Grecian gods. Witchcraft, sorcery, and divination.
Yes.
We take authority by Jesus who is risen.
Yes, Lord.
And we bind the violence and murder and poverty.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ, and we are joined together. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to a flight. The blood of Jesus prevail. The sword of the Lord prevail. The word of God prevail as we stand.
The word of God prevail. Yes, Lord.
We come against the territorial prince over California. We join with the multitude of intercessors, command you to loose that place and let the gospel have free course. The gospel of Christ have free course.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Save to the uttermost. And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Save to the uttermost.
Yes,
to the uttermost.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for this day that the Lord has enabled us to come before you with the word of God. Don't forget tomorrow, another God's Word to Man broadcast. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. And as for Brother Lee and Brother Kevin, Brother Nate, Sister Teague and Sister Anderson, God bless you. We love you all. Continue to have a blessed day in the Lord. God bless.
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you.